Can we talk about some of those other people involved in, you know, the administration of the club? Perhaps start with Arnold Alcock.
Yeah, I remember talking to him, but I don't remember a lot about him. All I know, obviously, he was a surgeon, wasn't he?
Yes.
Got his cap for England by mistake.
Yes. Mistaken for Slocum.
That's right. Yes. They were all very. They were sort of people you wouldn't put a foot wrong in front of. You felt there was a bit of an awe about them. You said, yes sir, no sir, three bags full sir. You just treaded carefully as a young lad. And for Mervyn Hughes, who incidentally he christened me, he christened my wife, he married us both, but I won't hold that in against him. I think he did the funeral service for my mother and my grandfather. So he was a great family friend as well, but a lot of fond memories of Mervyn, but again, he was a fellow, yes, Mr. Hughes, this and
Canon Hughes.
Yeah, well, it was Canon that eventually became a Canon, obviously, but he was Mr. Hughes to me.
And of course, in his playing days, was one of the famous three clergymen for Gloucester in the 1930s.
That's right, yes.
With Kit Tanner.
Kit Tanner. Who,
and Bill Phillips.
Still alive, but of course, Kit Tanner. Did he get the Distinguished Service Medal, didn't
he?
The Albert Medal, was it, in the war.
And I guess that aura particularly hung around Tom Voice, didn't it?
Yes. Tom, he lived just up the road from us. So in fact, there's quite a few people who lived in and around the area. I forget, of Escort Road, Chooksbury Road there. But Tom lived up in the big White House up in Escort Road there, and then moved into Chooksbury Road. So I used to see him coming down here a lot. He was a hello, Mr. Voice, and I was on my way really. So I didn't really talk to him that much.
Do you hear any stories of him?
Not really. No. My grandmother used to play with his wife. They used to play in a. My grandmother was a great one for cards and betting, and they used to have card schools and go along across to the Wish Drive over at Gloucester Civil Service Club every Thursday afternoon, and so they were in quite a social circle with Tom's wife and some other friends from Chooksbury Road area.
And tell me about Doug Wadley.
Well, Doug, lovely man, and again, just shows how small Gloucester is. My wife's family were great friends with the Wadley family when they were at Huckercup. But Doug was a lovely man and very, very astute as a treasurer. And of course, he worked with Terry Tandy for secretary for years. I still speak to Carol now, his daughter. But yeah, great, good servants of the club.
Yeah. We're also fortunate in the project in that he left his memorabilia here at the club, so they've come into part of the archive.
Yeah.
And in fact, amongst that, he'd clearly been given Billy John's memorabilia from your grandfather's time before the First World War.
Yeah. No, that's good.
And Terry Tandy?
Thing I remember with Terry is the unusual car he had. He had one of those old Ford Classics. Do you remember them? And I always remember that. And of course, he larger than life fellow, Terry, in more ways than one. But he served the club for years. And, the secretary before him was, King, was it? Used to work for Edwards Coaches before him, I think, and then it's Terry, or was it Roy Long before Terry?
Yes, I think.
Yeah, it was Roy Long. That's right. That was I'm trying to think, the fellow before that was King, and the other and the treasurer I always remember was old Bertie Bolshin.
Tell us about him.
And he was a character, and my mother always said that he could look at a list of figures and tell you what it came to before you'd even thought about it. And he was a great fellow with figures, apparently. And, of course, his think it was his son, was it? I'm getting a bit confused here. One of the Bolshins used to keep the Longford for years. But coming down here, I always remember people.
I guess Bertie was the person who used to pay you as a ball boy.
No, it wasn't actually. I always remember I used to go into that office to get my money for a ball boy, and there was a fellow who used to give me the money was Bill Farley, one of the gatemen. And he was a character, Bill, but you'd think he was paying it out of his own pocket. It was incredible. But
what was it, a florin?
For a home team game then. I think first team game was it 2 shillings? I can't remember. Second team game, one of the county game, you hit the jackpot and had 3 shillings. But I always remember Bill, he was on the gates, and in the summer he'd always be on the gate at the cricket at Tuffley Avenue. So obviously it was just an add-on for his pension, but I remember trying going for money and thinking, he's paying this out of his own pocket, is he? There was another character who used to be in the office over there, was Eric Martin. He was a great family friend as well, and you knew his son quite well. But the other character I mentioned him before was Tommy Oakes, and he used to do the changing rooms, and I can remember once he pumped the balls up before the game, and he gave it to the referee to check. Well, no, that's right. The referee asked to check the ball, and Tom didn't like that. But if you counted the balls in, out, and you counted them back in again, and my friends and I always wanted to play it on the pitch after we kick a ball about and asked to borrow a ball, and he let us have one, but it was probably one of the most misshapen ones. And of course the other thing in those days is if you knew you had a big kicker coming to Gloucester, the ball would be soaked in water, which was I always remember the first encounter I had with that was going down to Lydney with Dad in the car, and Don Rutherford, one of his first games for Gloucester, and I said, "How do you think it'll go today, Dad?" And he said, "Well, it depends how long they soak that ball in that bucket of water before the game."
Yeah, used to get like a lump of concrete.
You think that they could still kick the ball from probably the 10-yard line. Even then,
like a medicine ball,
it was.
Really whack,
yes.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was nothing like today's ball. That's for sure.
No, that's right. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I can remember one of the first white balls coming. Gilbert's made it, and the white plastic coating used to peel off because they couldn't get tannalise the leather properly to stop it reacting with the plastic.
Do you remember groundsman here?
Yes, I remember. The first one I can remember was, again, no relation, was a fellow called George Hudson, who lived in St Mark Street. He was a groundsman here, and his wife, for years, did the kit laundry. Very often I can remember in the summer coming down here, and my dad, they had what they call, they had the big mowers. The tractor was actually run by paraffin, which I find a bit strange, but they also had this huge machine with blades at the front called an autoscythe for cutting the long grass round by the fences. And the other groundsman was a fellow called Ernie Stroud. He was a bit of a character, but they always picked on these fellows who you wouldn't think, especially Ernie, who wouldn't be strong enough to lift a rugby ball, let alone anything else. Yeah, so I can remember I can always remember the stand underneath the tractor being in the. There was a locked shed under the stand here where the tractor was kept.
Yeah. What was the layout of the ground when you first came down here, or when you were down here as a ball boy?
Well, you had the main stand. The shed was just the same. You had the tump with the scoreboard in the middle, the main stand here. All that was under this stand was storage for spare posts, the gang mowers, locked shed for the tractor, some probably disgusting toilets, judging by the minutes of the AGMs.
Not as bad as the ones over on the shed side.
No. And of course you had the two wooden stands either end of the main grandstand. The one was taken down fairly shortly after I first started watching. I think it was unsafe. And then this one was taken down when they built the new clubhouse. And I've got to remember the new clubhouse being built. And then a lot of things changed then. And of course the tea room changed over the other side. They moved the tea room into the what was the old social club, because the building at the back there was the social club, which was relatively new to the gymnasium. So they converted that into the tea room. And I always remember on a match day, come 5 o'clock, somebody would be coming round with a pinkin. You know, all the rugby results, football results were in this paper, and it was in the club room by about 5:15, 5:30.
Yeah, it's astonishing, isn't it?
Yes.
These days with computers, they can't do newspapers out.
No, that's right.
Yeah.